Welcome to Generations with a Vision. I'm Adam McManus, guest hosting for Kevin Swanson. In studio today, we've got a very special guest, Doug Phillips, founder of Vision Forum Ministries here in San Antonio, Texas. And boy, are we going to cover a hot topic. The Transportation Security Administration has gone crazy. I think they've lost their collective minds, Doug. 74% of Americans, according to a MSNBC poll, are now saying they want to opt out of one of these crazy full body scans. I know you've blogged about it. What's your initial take as to how far out of the proper jurisdiction this government has stepped?
We have slowly been placed in a pot like a frog, and the heat has been turned up. But in this particular case, they've taken the frog and they put him over an active volcano and expected him to stay in there. What our federal government is doing right now is nothing short of perverse, immoral, unconstitutional, a violation of our civil liberties, a violation of moral propriety, a violation of common sense. It's one of the most egregious, immediate acts of usurpation against privacy, against the Fourth Amendment, that we've seen, I think, in our lifetime.
Well, there certainly has been a tremendously volatile level of outrage on the part of the citizenry. We've got one gentleman named John Christina from Connecticut, Simsbury, Connecticut, who punched out a TSA agent. We have a woman from Charlotte, North Carolina, who has been a flight attendant for 32 years, who, after having survived breast cancer 3 years ago, has a prosthetic breast in her bra that she was forced to take out, totally humiliated, even in the privacy of a back room. These are the kinds of incidents, including skin-to-skin contact inside a waistband of a woman who is now filing a lawsuit against sexual assault. How much do you think will the American people take?
Adam, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We're talking about molesting and groping little children. We're talking about a man who survived bladder cancer and who had a device that was meant to collect his urine. I mean, these are hard things to talk about. But, Adam, they left him completely having covered himself, with the bladder having broken through, in a state of absolute humiliation.
After having warned them several times.
That's right. These people are merciless. They are bold, brazen, merciless, arrogant, and they should go to jail. Should go to jail. The TSA agents should go to jail. And the reason why they should is because, notwithstanding the fact that the regulatory agencies have given them these rights, what they're doing is a violation of law. In the name of the state, they're going out there and doing things that private citizens would be thrown into jail for doing. If you walked up to someone and demanded, told them they couldn't leave a building because they have waived their rights by virtue of going through a line, and now they either have to pay an $11,000 fine or go to jail or both unless they're willing to a sexual form of groping in the name of the state, you'd go to jail. But if you work for the Obama administration and you're part of the TSA regulatory agency, then that's just fine. This has to be shut down.
They're saying that to fly is a privilege, not a right. What do you say about our ability as Americans to move by train, by car, by plane, to and fro, not only within the United States borders, but internationally?
The First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution are very clear. Whether it's freedom of assembly or mobility, we have the right to be able to travel. We have the right to be able to be secure in our persons, the Fourth Amendment says, against unreasonable searches and seizures. And there would need to be a warrant. There would need to be probable cause of wrong. So the predicate here is either that the situation is so severe that some people, by the way, not everyone, because keep in mind, there are still random searches where people are forced through. So apparently the situation isn't so severe that everyone has to be put through it, but some people have to be put through this humiliating exam. It is unbiblical. It is unconstitutional. It defies common sense. It's incredible what's taking place. And, Adam, here's the problem. If we accept this, if we simply roll over in the name of the fear of terrorist attacks and we simply waive our security, where does it start? What is there left?
Where does it end?
Why? I mean, how does it get worse than allowing the federal government to grope your 13-year-old daughter?
Mm.
How does it get worse than having your little 8-year-old boy fondled by a sodomite TSA agent? Now, I don't know who is and who isn't, but let's be honest about something. These kind of jobs where you're fondling human beings in their private parts is going to be attractive to people who are morally problematic. And we've opened up the door for chaos. We've opened up the door for a horror story. It's outrageous. There's no excuse for this.
There isn't. Congressman Ron Paul has introduced the American Traveler Dignity Act. And this is what he said from the floor of the House, that his legislation is simple. It establishes that airport security screeners are not immune from any U.S. law regarding physical contact with another person, making images of another person, or causing physical harm through the use of radiation-emitting machinery on another person. It means they are subject to the same laws as the rest of us. Congressman Paul concluded by saying, I warned at the time of the creation of the TSA that an unaccountable government entity in control of airport security would provide neither security nor defend our basic freedom to travel. Yet the vast majority of both Republicans and Democrats, this is very interesting, both of them, both parties, then in Congress, willingly voted to create another unaccountable bullying agency in a simple-minded and unprincipled attempt to appease public passion in the wake of 9/11. Sadly, as we see with the steady TSA encroachment on our freedom and dignity, my fears in 2001 were justified. The solution, says Congressman Paul, is to allow the private sector, preferably the airlines themselves, to provide for the security of their property. How do you respond to Congressman Paul?
I think what Congressman Paul has given us is sound. It's crazy that he would have to offer a bill like this, that we've reached the point where we have to state the obvious, which is that the federal government should not have the right to do what anybody else would go to jail for doing. So his points are exactly correct. This is unconstitutional. It's morally improprious. It needs to be stopped immediately. But, Adam, I fear that fear is what will lead the American people into ceding all of their rights. And, by the way, this is what's always happened. Strong men have emerged on the scenes, and they have used fear to manipulate people. It's been this way throughout the 20th century. We see it emerging in the 21st century. If people are afraid enough, they'll give up the fundamentals. They'll hand their children over to the state. In this case, they're giving their privacy, their humanity over to 24-year-old wet-behind-the-ear government officials of, we have no idea who they are, where they came from, but we're giving them rights that we wouldn't give to anyone else.
You touch on something that I have seen reflected in the interviews. A surprising number of Americans actually in line at the airports who are witnessing others going through these nudie body scans or the TSA groping indicate that they're glad for it because they feel more secure. And yet, interestingly, some of the pilots themselves have said that they refuse to fly through airports where either one of these are required for them, much less their passengers, because they don't think
Hillary Clinton said
it requires.
Hillary Clinton was asked, would she like to go through this? And she said, absolutely not. She didn't want to go through this. And I think that anyone with a sense of moral decency and propriety wouldn't want to do it. But you can train people to be sheep. You can train them to be lemmings. You can train them to give up their freedoms. And heavy-handed state officials have done this. Adam, my background on my father's side is Jewish. When I was a little boy, I used to see tattoos from Auschwitz and Dachau on the arms of my extended relatives. What happened to them was people at gunpoint would make them strip. People at gunpoint would subject them to all sorts of horrible things. We don't have the gunpoint yet. What we have right now are threats, fines, humiliation, and a charge that if we don't somehow give our children's bodies, our daughters' bodies over to the state, our own bodies to the state, we're being un-American.
You touch on how people are willing to give up their freedoms and their liberties. And yet, boy, you've got someone like this gentleman quoted on the AP wire several days ago, a traveler who said, you know, I'm an experienced traveler, and I've experienced TSA agents who have let the power go to their head.
Yeah.
Isn't that ultimately what we're talking about? Because of the structure of the TSA, these people who are probably not paid more than $7 or $8 or $9 an hour know that they can basically tell someone, you can't fly today. You can't go to that important meeting. You can't go to that convention. You can't see your dying mother unless you do what I tell you to do.
You know, I know there are many people that would be uncomfortable with comparisons between the TSA and the Gestapo and organizations like that. But in times of heavy statism, agencies are created in which individuals have superpowers legally to act beyond the normal scope of the law. That's precisely what's happening here. These are individuals that have no special legal rights other than that which is given to them by the government, and yet they infringe on our right of travel. They're able to undress us, touch us, fine us, accuse us, and speak with utter contempt and disrespect, by the way, Adam, constantly, of those people who raise their constitutional freedoms.
Well, Captain Sully Sullenberger, the gentleman who landed the plane unbelievably in the river there, the Hudson River, as both of the engines exploded, said that he thinks this is an inefficient use of our resources. I'm Adam McManus, and you're listening to Generations with Vision, filling in today for Kevin Swanson.
Maybe you've heard of home education. For the last 25 years, families have been bringing education home as they integrated education back into the family. Now this is spawning a new movement, and it's called family-based economics. Could this movement salvage the family? Could it save an economy or produce a sustainable agriculture? You know, when the debt-based economic systems fail, when the family fails, when the non-sustainable agricultural systems fail, what are you going to do? It's time to get a vision for biblical family-based economics now. The wise man builds his systems on the rock. Now the foolish men didn't, and now look at what's happening. We're taking the 2011 Family Economics Conference to North Carolina on March 11th and 12th, 2011. Invited speakers include Doug Phillips from Vision Forum, Eric Weir from Weir Capital Investment, Scott Brown, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. We're talking about how you will prepare your children for the future without brick-and-mortar colleges. We're talking about mentorships, contractualization, networking into the changing economies, family dynamics in the integrated economy, family inheritance, bootstrapping entrepreneurism, sustainable family economic systems, and family health care options that avoid socialist medical systems. Folks, almost every developed nation today reports social and economic decline on the macro scale. But we believe that our families can thrive in the midst of it all. We can build gardens in the ashes. For more information, you need to check out conference2011.com now. That's conference2011.com.
Welcome back to the Generations with Vision broadcast. I'm Adam McManus, filling in for Kevin Swanson. And here at the headquarters of Vision Forum Ministries in San Antonio, Texas, Doug Phillips, who also happens to be a constitutional attorney. And I'll tell you, Doug, I could have really used your constitutional advice as I was flying back in from Russia. And there I was in the Houston airport. I opted out. It was Chicago, actually, O'Hare. And I opted out of the full-body nude scan. And he said, well, you're going to have an enhanced pat-down. This is before it all became public. And I thought, oh, okay. I didn't know what that meant, really. I just thought it would be, you know, kind of padding to make sure I didn't have a gun in my pocket or something. But all of a sudden, I was being groped, and I was so shocked. I was so jarred.
You didn't know what to say.
I know what to say. I know what to do, how to act. And, of course, now it's come to full-blown anger on the part of the American people. What would be your constitutional advice to citizens about their rights?
Well, first of all, there's two elements to this so-called enhanced pat-down and, of course, the scanners that we go through. The first thing is, when we're going through these scanners, we are revealing, essentially, our body. The equivalent of a naked picture is being recorded, and then some 24-year-old or 30-year-old or whoever it happens to be is looking at it, evaluating our body, looking at every contour, every shape, this is an absolute privacy invasion. It's completely unconstitutional.
Even if it is erased.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter.
Even if it is erased, it doesn't matter at all. Of course, what we've discovered is that federal officials not only don't erase them, but they use them in court. You can go on the Internet and see thousands of images of people who were told, oh, this would never be used. And, of course, they were recorded and they were kept. So when the government tells you that they are not recording it, here's the answer. It's a lie. Or at the very least, it's a potential lie or a misrepresentation. And we know that because they are habitually recording them even when they say they don't do that.
Do you think, in an odd sort of way, God has allowed the TSA's foolishness and their overstepping their boundaries and their jurisdiction in order to wake up the body of Christ to our rights being trampled upon?
Boy, I want to believe that, but that means that we need to wake up. If that's the case, we should be waking up. See, I actually think it's possible that the majority of Americans will get to the point where they think it's absolutely normal and there is nothing the matter whatsoever with people fondling, groping. And one of the reasons for that is fear. We're absolutely driven by fear. Statism, that in the name of the state, anything can be done. And here's another thing, Adam. We've lost all morals, all sense of a moral compass regarding what is proprietous or not. We live in a culture that no longer regards the sacredness of the human body, the sacredness of the privacy of the vessel that God has given to us. And when people get that way, they take these things very lightly.
In your blog entitled, and I love your title, The Emperor Wants You to Have No Clothes, I love the Turner phrase, you talk about the Fourth Amendment, and in it we read that the right of the people is to be secure their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Now, you believe, you alluded to this in the previous segment, that this is a direct attack on the Fourth Amendment, that this is clearly unreasonable.
It's hard for me to imagine a more direct attack on the Fourth Amendment. I mean, please give me the scenario which is a greater attack on the concept that we can be secure in our persons against unreasonable searches than someone telling you, you will be fined $11,000, you could go to jail, you will not be able to travel unless you let someone you don't know, who may be a homosexual for all you know, fondle you and grope you in your private parts. It's almost farcical how extreme it is. Now, Adam, understand, when the Bill of Rights were written, the Third Amendment to the Bill of Rights says that we're not to allow the quartering of troops in our home. Some people might say, what does the quartering of troops have to do with the right to be secure in our persons? Well, the fact of the matter was, during the War of American Independence, the King of England claimed that in the name of security, in the name of security, in the name of peace, in the name of quelling rebellion, in the name of quelling insurrection, soldiers got to be placed in your homes.
Wow.
And here's what happened as a result of it. They raped the women. They stole the food. They destroyed the households. And our founding father said, never again in the history of the United States will we ever allow this again, ever. And so now we have the federal government saying, well, we're not going to quarter the troops. We're just going to fondle your private parts or send you to jail if you don't let us. Now, if that isn't as clear a violation of the Constitution, would somebody please submit to us an example of what would be a more egregious example of a violation of the right to be secure in our persons from unreasonable searches and seizures?
You describe it in your blog at visionforum.com as barbarism. Define barbarism.
Well, the word barbarism has it's derived from the idea of the barbarian. And a barbarian was the wild, unchristianized tribes, the people that were not under the law of God, the people that lived wild lives of abandon without law. And so when we speak of barbarism, we speak of societies that are given over to complete lawlessness. This is lawlessness in the name of statism.
You're listening to Generations with Vision. I'm Adam McManus, filling in for Kevin Swanson. And we're here with Doug Phillips of Vision Forum Ministries, also a constitutional attorney. One of the actual proposals of a solution is to go toward private sector screening. That there is no federal obligation to have a TSA. Federal law allows airports to opt for screeners from the private sector. Do you think that is a partial answer?
Well, I think that we need to completely rethink the entire approach to dealing with the perceived terrorist threat. Now, I understand that when Americans feel that they are in danger, they're willing to, they tend to be willing to cede certain rights and privileges. What we've done is we've created a Department of Homeland Security, which is trampling on our freedoms. We've created the TSA, which is trampling on our freedoms. I think it should be abolished altogether, completely done away with. It needs to be done. You know how our country would be safer if our citizens were allowed to carry
arms?
About
20 seconds.
In 20 seconds? If they could carry their own arms, if they could protect themselves, if things were privatized, if security was privatized, we'd see a far, far safer America. We wouldn't see the kind of terrorism attack threats that are currently on the horizon, or at least we're told are.
Congressman John Mica of Florida apparently proposing that very idea of privatizing the screening process. Well, I'm Adam McManus, filling in for Kevin Swanson, here with Doug Phillips of Vision Forum Ministries on the Generations with Vision broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to our final segment here on Generations with Vision broadcast. I'm Adam McManus here at the Vision Forum headquarters with Doug Phillips, the founder. You can learn more at his website, visionforum.com. And boy, Doug, you were on a roll our last segment talking about the need and the importance of Americans arming themselves, and I guess you're not necessarily advocating that they pack heat as they go to fly back to their mother-in-law's house, necessarily.
I don't oppose that idea.
Really?
No, I don't. I actually believe that we would, with proper care and proper management, we would probably be of self-government. We would probably be safer, more secure, less problems if people have the ability to defend themselves. So that may sound radical to a lot of people, but it didn't used to be radical. It used to be very common.
Let me ask this question.
Yeah.
What might have happened had people been able to do that when 9/11 hijackers hijacked the planes?
Well, you have to understand that the precondition of hijacking is that the hijackers have the guns and the citizens don't. That's the precondition.
Mm.
So if citizens have the ability to defend themselves, then hijackers are essentially incapacitated.
Wow.
So we are now under the paradigm that people are sheep, they can't take care of themselves, and we've literally created a world in which criminals have guns and citizens don't.
What is especially intriguing to me is that we've got these enhanced pat-downs, some are calling them gropes. You've got the full nudie body scans. But as intrusive as both of them are, they really aren't providing us with any additional security, even according to airline pilots themselves. Let's look at the history of the Israeli airline, El Al, and how that country has been dealing with the threat of terrorism for years.
This is an excellent analogy. So we begin with the proposition that there really is no evidence that the groping nudie scans produce greater security. They certainly create greater distrust and many other problems. But what about a nation like Israel? Israel has been under a more significant terrorism threat by factors, multiple factors, than the United States of America. They daily live with terrorism. They daily live with problems with enemies of their nation. And yet they don't have any of these procedures. None of them. They don't take little girls and little boys and grope them.
Or 60-year-old women.
They don't do that. Walkers. That's right. They have a system of just intelligent, reasonable profiling where they ask questions, they pull people aside, but they do not fundamentally restrict the rights of people or subject them to immodesty.
For example, if there's a Pakistani individual man of Arabic descent who is unwilling to reveal what hotel he plans to stay in,
they have a question.
Which might raise some issues.
There
might be a red flag.
And they pull them aside and they ask a questionnaire. But, you know, that really is significant. If the most terrorism-rich nation in the world, Israel, has the best security in the world with the best track record, and if they never do the sort of dehumanizing anti-constitutional practices, it might be instructive to us.
I think it's interesting to know that former Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, when he was on every single interview program known to man, from Dateline NBC to 60 Minutes to Fox News, advocating for these full nudie body scans, at that very moment, he was being paid by companies that would profit from the sale of those things.
I think what you're pointing out is this is a racket.
His hands are bloody.
We have to understand several things are going on. We are being prepared.
We're dirty.
We're being prepared for even greater government intrusion. If we accept this, the path has been made clear for the government to go to the next level and the next level and the next level. And the second thing is that these people are feeding off of each other. This is a racket. The people that are promoting it are making a buck off of this. That's a gigantic conflict of interest problem.
Follow the money.
And people know it. They just don't seem to care about it. Why? Because if the government says to have your security, you must let us touch your private parts and take pictures of your daughters and wives naked, Americans are saying, you know what, I'm willing to do that for the perception of security. Our founding father said, absolutely not.
And don't the terrorists win?
Yes.
If that happens, if we bow down, if we...
Well, we're a nation of fearful people. We're not allowed to defend ourselves. We're afraid to travel. We believe that the men in the white jackets representing Barack Obama and the state always have our best interest at heart and know what they're doing.
So what's the answer? What should the Christian watching this TV program right now, listening to the broadcast, the Generations with Vision broadcast, what should they do?
I think a number of things. Number one, immediately contact the governor of your state and tell them it's got to stop in the airports. We need to contact on the federal level as well, our congressmen, our senators. It must be shut down. We need to support Ron Paul's bill absolutely positively. But I think there's an important question that needs to be asked, which is, will we go through these? I have to say that as I've wrestled through the issue as a person who travels all the time, I cannot see myself going through that because it seems to me to be a moral issue to allow somebody to take a naked picture of me or my family. And secondarily, I'm really not interested in them practicing these very intrusive groping techniques either. Where does that leave us? We are either going to have to sound off right now or we're going to have serious problems with the ability to travel.
And by the way, the name of the legislative bill of Congressman Ron Paul, American Traveler Dignity Act. And you can contact your congressman at 202-225-3121 to support that. That's 202-225-3121. We are so delighted that you're able to join us today. Doug Phillips, the Vision Forum.
Adam, I'm glad to be here. And I want to say that I think in the future we will look back to this issue as one of those linchpin, one of those turning points. And if we do not respond to this, I don't see how we can move forward as a nation with the blessing of God.
I'm Adam McManus for Kevin Swanson on the Generations with Vision broadcast.